Welcome to a week 7 wrap-up edition of the Goal Line Stand, all football all the time. We are a Sports Talk Philly partner, presented as always by Michael's Glass Company, serving the Philadelphia Tri-State area since 1978. 215-338-3293. Tell them Mike and Brett sent you. Follow us on all social media at GL Stand Show, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. The YouTube link is in the show notes, as well as the link to the Facebook group for the Goal Line Stand. I think I got that all the way through. I'm Michael Lipinski, joined as always by Brett Halpern. What else do we have coming up? Well, I take a sip of water.
Well, we have our halfway season mock draft show. We haven't quite decided if we're going to do it. I don't know if we should do it week 8. Week 9, if we should wait for every team to have 8 games because of their respective bye weeks. But either way, within the next few weeks, we're going to be doing a halfway season mock draft show.
And that'll be, I think we're going to do video on that, right? Is that what we kind of, similar to our other ones? Or I don't know that we've even figured that out.
We can do video and audio.
Okay, that works.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Let's get into the big news of the week. Odell Beckham Jr., the man, if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, the shit just comes right downstream. I mean,
Odell. Funny you should use that term.
Exactly. Allegedly. Odell Beckham Jr. out for the year, torn ACL. Your thoughts? You're a Beckham guy.
Oh, yeah. Huge Beckham guy. Honestly, I think Baker Mayfield. Hey, look, the Browns are a better team when OBJ is playing and healthy. But, you know, I think there are times when Baker Mayfield tries to force the issue and get Beckham involved. It really is interesting, though. I honestly thought when he went there that he would continue with the numbers that he had put up his first few years with the Giants, but he really hasn't. And he is no longer the force that – and I'm talking about prior to the injury, obviously – he's no longer the force that he once was at the position. He's not a game changer. And now this is the second time in his career where he's had a season-ending injury. So now you could also make the argument he's injury prone. So, yeah, look, this is a guy who, while I marveled at the athleticism, I mean, this is a guy, I will say, he really did make warm-ups a must-see, the things he could do. But I really don't find him to be a great teammate. You heard the stories of him last week, you know, taking off his cleats 8 minutes before the game ended. He's on the edge all the time. And it's just a little much for me. And I never loved him as a Giant. I respected the abilities, but never loved him. I'm not saying that the putts of East Rutherford necessarily got a great return on the investment, but I am kind of glad he's no longer a Giant. I don't wish injury for him, so I am sad in that regard. And I kind of wish the Browns well, so it's tough in that regard. But I think they're going to keep chugging along, and I still think that they have a good shot at getting a wild card berth.
I would agree with you there. It's a shame because I actually was a feel-good story. Wanted to see them kind of make a little bit of a run. Wide receivers are in the news. I mean, this is a diva league. Wide receivers are in the news.
Yeah.
According to Adam Schefter, as of this morning, it is official. Antonio Brown is reuniting with Tom Brady, this time in Tampa. And we have AB and TB.
Yep. Ab and Tib.
Abs with Tib in TB.
Yes. Yeah. So it really is like TB squared or cubed or, well, anyways. This is interesting. I think the Buccaneers are starting to hit a stride, but I do worry that there's going to be too many cooks in the kitchen, too many personalities. Antonio Brown is a strange guy, and I think he has been going through he kind of has some issues, you know, and you know, sometimes you need just role players as opposed to having a team of all-stars. And I worry that this is just going to cause a disruption in the chemistry. So we shall see. It is definitely going to be interesting. Of course, he's going to be, we'll get to this more in our Football Friday show, Of course, he'll be debuting against the New York Giants, which is interesting. But nevertheless, I do worry that this is maybe one move too many. Or, you know, not maybe you should have added another defensive piece or traded for a better offensive lineman or another running back, something. I just don't know if this is needed.
I can see where you would say that. Like, what's the point? You were kind of doing your thing. If there's any, well, there's the Arian connections, right? From where they were together in Pittsburgh, correct?
Yeah.
So I guess there's that. It's going to go one way or the other. It's great that they've now added a weapon and they're going to continue to go off, or it's going to just torpedo the ship.
Cannon
is going to torpedo the ship from the end zone. Dez Bryant has officially, well, I guess it's not officially returned to the NFL. Dez Bryant has signed to the Ravens practice squad.
Yeah.
Interesting. Is this you think this is let's see how he is, get him a little bit healthier, then move him to the active roster kind of move?
Yeah, and or else, you know, I think the Ravens have a lot of younger receivers, and this might be, you know, come playoff time, I'm sure each week they're going to protect him, because I think you have to protect certain players on your practice squad from getting signed. And in the event of an injury, they'll bring him up. You know, look, yes, obviously he's a Cowboy, which in these parts of the country is not, you know, he wasn't really well liked, but I thought he kind of got a raw deal towards the end of his career in Dallas. And, you know, he's worked his way back, and he suffered an injury in his latest, in his, the most recent comeback prior to this one. So, you know, I wish him well. I don't wish ill will for many players. So it should be interesting. I don't think he has much left in the tank, but to the extent, I think he's also, you know, the other thing about him, he's a very good blocker, which particularly in that offense, I think fits very well.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Again, we highly respect the Ravens staff, all that, you know, those guys. So it'll be interesting. Let's get to it. No Eagles, no Giants wrap up this week, because we already did that on Friday after the barn burner that was Thursday night. But we're going to talk a little bit of general NFC East and NFL. I don't know why we're going to lead off with the NFC East, but
my God.
So the NFC East is, I think it's the first time since the Super Bowl era that a division has not had at least one team with a winning record, like at this point of the season.
Yeah. And I mean,
and everybody's in it. Everyone's in the mix.
Well, yeah, to me, this is almost by process of elimination, I think this is now the Eagles division. And maybe Washington. To me, if Washington are buyers during the trade deadline, perhaps they get back in it. But I just don't see Washington having enough weapons. But Dallas is dead. It's unbelievable.
So Dallas is dead. Andy Dalton is alive, barely. Let's talk about that for a second. James Bostic with the dirtiest, cheapest of hits that I've seen in a long time. I mean, I honest to God don't think I've seen a hit like that in almost 25, 30 years. It's been out of the game for that long, at least 20.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this was way worse than Vontaze Burfict's hit that resulted in a season suspension. Now, granted, part of the reason that he had that season suspension was because of prior bad acts. But the fact that Bostic did not get a suspension at all, to me, is shocking.
Did he get fined? I'm sure he got fined.
Not get suspended.
He needs to be suspended. Absolutely needs to be suspended. And kudos to Ron Rivera. Apparently he went into the Cowboys locker room after the game to apologize. Not to Andy Dalton, but I guess to the coach. If you're the Cowboys, this tells you where the Cowboys are. Other than you have that happens to your quarterback. You and I are linemen. That happens to your quarterback. Guess what? I'm probably getting tossed.
Oh yeah,
I'm getting tossed. I'm getting tossed from the game.
Yeah. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Joe Flacco Kiko Alonso, when he was on the Dolphins, had a dirty hit against Joe Flacco, and his guys went nuts. And yeah, I mean, like, heck, if I'm the owner, I'm paying for all the fines of the guys who were trying to exact retribution.
Absolutely. Jason Peters. It was Nick Foles was the quarterback.
Yeah.
And there was a cheap shot. I forget who they were playing.
Yeah.
And Jason Peters, I think Washington actually.
Yeah.
And Jason Peters got involved. To me, that just tells you everything you need to know about the Dallas Cowboys and where they currently are.
There's no leadership. The leader, his ankle's in like five different places. That's the problem. And actually the other leaders are not on the field. They just have a bunch of no-namers and Dominic DiNucci's grandson.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, Dominic DiNucci.
Yes. It's interesting when you see the replay of that. I think it was Kyle Fuller who's on the Redskins. Even he reacted like, oh my God, I can't believe. Yeah.
He covers his head, right? Like, oh my
God. Oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. That is a bad look.
It's a bad look for the league when they're going to talk about protecting players and then they don't. Like, the hit is one thing. It happens. But you have to then set the precedent to say that this can't happen.
Yeah. And either way, look, I'd be shocked if Andy Dalton played. Now, supposedly this is his first concussion.
I understand that. And
that was a bad one.
If he clears protocol, I guess he can play. But again, coming back with the league, that's not a good look.
He looked like Ben Askren against Jorge Masvidal. I mean, that would be bad. He was out. But it begs the question. Dallas needs to sign another quarterback. And of course, it's clear there's a certain someone, a.k.a. Colin Kaepernick, who will not get his phone, particularly from Jerry Jones, is not going to get a phone call.
And the question is, does he deserve to? I think he deserves to. And I had this conversation with somebody. Now is the opportunity. If you're Jerry Jones, you say, hey, look, we're going to make him an offer. If Colin Kaepernick doesn't accept it of reason, then that's on him.
Jerry Jones will never make that offer.
No, he won't make that offer. Well, there's been rumors that they might try and trade for Ryan Fitzpatrick before the deadline. There's a whole bunch out there. I think we put this on our Instagram, it was on our Twitter, I believe, at GL Stand Show. If you're the Cowboys, do you just embrace it now? You're at the towards the bottom of the division. I mean, the Jets have you beat. Do you just tank out here and get a pick?
Yeah, but again, I mean, you just mentioned if you want Trevor Lawrence, you already have too many wins because the Jets are not getting two wins.
That's true.
So, yeah, but that's a
good quarterback class.
Yeah, it's not Trevor Lawrence. There are two other special quarterbacks. I mean, and so without revealing too much, I will tell you more likely than not in my mock draft, there's going to be four quarterbacks selected in the first round. But there are three special prospects. So, yeah, I mean, they have a shot for a top three pick. And then I guess you don't have to pay Dak Prescott.
Exactly. And Cowboys fans aren't going to want to hear that. They were bashing me on the web about it. Yeah, I just don't think it's going to happen. Let's talk Washington real quick. Ron Rivera is, and the players are talking about it, has that team believing that they can win a division. And they can. I mean, mathematically, they can. Do they have a legit chance to make a run at this thing? Or are they just, they're Washington?
I still think that their offense is just too limited. I'm not a believer in Kyle Allen. I still think the Eagles, even with all the injuries, and they're going to get, at some point, the Eagles will actually get marginally healthier. I mean, some of these guys are out for the year, but some of these guys, they're going to, I mean, like, for instance, this week, you guys are getting Jalen Reagor back. That's something, right? But, you know, look, when it comes to building blocks of a team, there is one thing, and we talked about this in the previous series, and frankly, we talked about this in the mock draft recap, or excuse me, the NFL draft recap show that we did way back in April, which is, the Washington Redskins have an exceptional defensive line. And that really, when you have one exceptional unit, it really could make for it keeps it could keep you in games. So you never know, particularly in this bad a division. Because the Redskins, I mean, think about it. That's the reason that they beat you guys, they beat the Philadelphia Eagles in week one of the season. And frankly, the Eagles offensive line is even more beat up now. So, you know, that defensive line will keep them in the divisional race. But in the end of the day, I think they're just too limited offensively. Now, again, perhaps they pick up a few receivers at the trade deadline. You know, all they really need is like one or two more options. I do think Logan Thomas is becoming a nice tight end for them, the former quarterback from Vatek.
Yeah, I like Ron Rivera. I like what he's trying to do to that team. You mentioned the Philadelphia Eagles and injuries. DeSean Jackson out 6 to 8 weeks on the air quotes dirty hit, which we went through over last week. I didn't think it was just it was bad, but it's not what people are making it out to be. They're going to be getting healthy. We'll talk more about them on the Football Friday show. There's really not much going on with the Eagles as far as the guys are getting hurt. Some guys are getting healthy. It'll be interesting to see what Rager does. By Friday, we'll know if Alshon Jeffrey is going to decide to grab his jock and suit up. We'll see.
Yeah. Look, I'm a Travis Fulgham believer. We'll talk about that more on Friday in the future of the So, yeah, I mean, I don't really think you need Alshon Jeffrey.
I don't think so either. And if the Eagles, we'll talk about on Friday some of the moves that could be coming up. But if the Eagles do not, you can't. Fulgham's your guy right now. He just is.
Yeah.
Let's talk the Giants, because the Giants have made the news recently, and not for on-field exploits. Some of them. Your quarterback there, Danny Dimes, and Saquon Barkley want to go to a party and hang out in New York City during a pandemic without their masks on.
Yeah, well, okay. So the story is that it was several players that went to a closed restaurant or a private and were in a private room, and then they opened up the bar. Now, again, it was just them. There was no one else. But they weren't wearing masks. It's not a good look. It's clear that they violated some protocol. I think they'll probably get fined. I don't think they're going to get suspended. Look, I don't think this is. I take it seriously. Don't get me wrong. And if they, you know, if they deserve, if the NFL says that they broke protocol, fine them by all means. You know, I don't think this is Daniel Jones being a malcontent or anything of that nature. But, you know, considering the night before you know, the 25-yard line tackled you, even though they did – look, at the end of the day, no one will – in 10 years from now, no one is going to remember that they actually scored on that drive.
From the 12, Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone. Stay upright, and he trips absolutely all alone, and he trips.
Thanks for that.
No problem. It's going to be a sound clip from here on out. It's great.
Yeah. Including
the gunshots from the grassy knoll.
Yeah, look, these guys have lives, right? But it's not a great look that the night after, you know, that, and you blew an 11-point lead with, what, 6-7 minutes left. That you're out and also not taking care of yourself. It's just not a good look. I think he's smarter than that, but apparently.
I'd agree with you there. It's just, yeah. It's the look. I read what happened, and it's just like, oh, come on, man. Like,
yeah, I'm not offended beyond belief. It's just not a great look.
Let's get to this scathing article, about Andrew Thomas. With quotes from Joe Thomas. I have no idea what this is about.
Yeah. So, well, there was two different articles. There was one from, I'm going to explain one first before the Joe Thomas one. So, Andrew Thomas during draft prep, just like how there are quarterback gurus, there are offensive line gurus. And Andrew Thomas went with Paul Alexander, who's the former offensive line, longtime offensive line coach for the Bengals. He's considered one of the deans in the offensive line community. And he was saying how he was in disbelief watching Andrew Thomas because he's like, he's not the same guy. The Giants have him doing things that make no sense, which then raises into question the quality of the coaching. That the Giants offensive line coach is Mark Colombo, the former Dallas Cowboy offensive lineman. But also, you have to understand, it's in Paul Alexander's financial interest to tout Andrew Thomas. So he's not going to just say, hey, he's sucking right now. Then fast forward, that was for New York Daily News. New York Post had an article quoting Joe with Joe Thomas. And Joe Thomas was saying, it's very similar, it sounded like this other guy I remember saying during a particular mock draft show about how of the top four offensive tackles, that Andrew Thomas is the one who was the least athletic and didn't move naturally, and he was a bender. Again, sounds very much like this guy. Oh, yeah, I kind of said those things too. And he just said that of the four, that he was the – he did not like him the least. And then because of the COVID world we lived in and the fact that he didn't get an adequate offseason and preseason, that he's learning on the job. But it was very interesting. It just was another damning – article about the putts of East Rutherford and the New York Giants scouting department, that they just do not see what it looks like the majority of the NFL sees when it comes to evaluating talent. I mean, look, we talked about particularly in the last episode when we were recapping the Giant-Eagle game. You know, Daniel Jones is not terrible. He's not the number one problem with the New York Giants. But was he worth the sixth pick of the draft? I don't believe so. And it looks like, you know, and that was the big thing last year, because remember, Gettleman's like, oh, we know of three teams that were going to pick him. And he even cited a few of them. And they were like, yeah, we weren't going to pick him. So it's their scouting department. They are off with respect to how they evaluate talent. And that's the reason that they need to completely clean house from the personnel perspective. And so I thought those articles really were damning once again to the putts of East Rutherford. Can't go a week without that happening.
You good?
Yeah, you know. Okay. Oh, then also, it looks like they're not going to trade Evan Engram. And I don't want the guy on the team anymore. I take New York Giant tight end seriously.
Okay. That is true. That is yes. True. And, let's go around.
Yeah.
Let's go around the NFL real quick. Anything stand out to you this week? I mean, Pittsburgh beating Tennessee was pretty interesting the way they went about it.
Yeah, they did a nice. It was a close game. You know, particularly after the. I mean, it's interesting. The NFC West, I think, is the best division in football, but. To me, and we'll get into this when we reveal our top five rankings, to me, the AFC is miles ahead of the NFC. That was one of my takeaways.
I would agree with you. Kansas City just destroys Denver. I mean, Denver's not a good team, but they just destroy them. And the 49ers, hey, welcome back to the party, San Francisco. I don't know if it was because the Niners were kind of just – getting healthier, hitting their stride, or have we really seen the end of the era in New England? Cam benched.
Well, supposedly he's coming back, and that was just to get Stidham some time at the end of the game. I don't know, because I got to tell you, I go in my mind, I remember the Patriots were a play away from beating the Seahawks in Seattle, and Cam Newton looked tremendous in that game. So I still think there's something there. Now, they need desperately another receiver. I think they kind of struck out with N'Keal Harry, and it continued. Bill Belichick is not good at evaluating wide receivers. He just is not. I mean, it's one thing, okay, we'll go get Randy Moss, They traded for Wes Welk. But, I mean, think about his draft picks. And if we brought that, maybe for Football Friday. I'll bring that up, you know, on, I guess, like Pro Football Reference. By the way, I was on Pro Football Reference last night, and my computer, like, literally was about to blow up. I think someone put, like, a Trojan horse on Pro Football Reference because my virus scan thing went berserk. So everybody look out. I'm not trying to hurt Pro Football Reference. To me, it's a site I visit probably 5 times a week, but just watch out. I don't know if there were some nefarious characters putting some – lacing it with stuff.
Nefarious actors.
Character actors.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Call him an actor.
I don't know. It's a good point. It's like the movie The Hacker. Remember, did you ever see Hackers?
The 90s?
It was a good movie.
Yeah, well, that was okay.
Remember when he's like, call me the plague, and the guy's like, okay, Mr. The Plague.
Let's go to college football. Big weekend in college football. Underline big, bold, B with a 1 and a G. The Big Ten returns to play. It was glorious for us, as we talked about on Night Talk, the Rutgers podcast. Rutgers just destroyed Michigan State. That's what it was. But the Big Ten is back. Any observations about the Big Ten's opening weekend? Surprises?
Well, you would think it was a good story, then it turned out bad, which is Wisconsin Friday night destroying Illinois. And their quarterback debuting, Graham Mertz, throwing 5 touchdowns. And then, unfortunately, it appears as if he tested positive for COVID-19. So, obviously, we hope he has a full and speedy recovery. But it appears he's going to be out for at least 2 to 3 games. So that
21 days. He is out. The backup quarterback is out. They are down to their 4th-string quarterback in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they lost Cone in the beginning of the year. So he's out. That's the start. Mertz is the backup, plays well, may or may not be a pretzel winner. He's out. And now they're just going to go back to running the ball, I guess.
Yeah. But, you know, they'll do that. And then I wonder if a certain freshman, although I was looking at the depth chart, I couldn't even find Jalen Berger on it, which was interesting.
Who?
Jalen Berger.
Don't know. We talked about it a little bit on the Rutgers show, the Penn State Indiana game.
Yeah.
It takes some serious balls if you're Tom Allen to go for 2 in that scenario.
It does. You know, I also think sometimes that coaches do that. I don't necessarily think it applies here, but I do want to mention the scenario. Sometimes I think they're doing that to save their team from an extended game. Because if you have, you know, where you're just going to go into like 6 overtimes, if you're like, look, these kids are playing next week. We haven't had, it was a strange offseason. I got to save their legs. We're just going for it right now. Their defense is struggling. Our defense is struggling. We're just going to go for the game right now. I think sometimes coaches kind of pull the plug and it's like now or never kind of thing, as opposed to, you know, having a Texas A&M LSU 7 overtime game, because no matter what, neither of those teams, you'd have to go back and look, but I guarantee you neither one of those teams perform well the week after. Cause it takes something out of you to play that much.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Ohio State does what Ohio State does. Michigan does what Michigan does. I mean, it's nice to have the Big Ten back.
Yeah, Justin Fields looked really – I think he had, what, 1 incompletion? Their running game didn't really get off to a great start, but I'm sure, you know, it'll pick up. Michigan actually looked good. I think they may have finally found a quarterback. He looked good. So it should be interesting – to see. And Northwestern put a whooping on Maryland.
Yeah. Yeah. Maryland. Good for Maryland.
Yeah, exactly. Not upset.
Let's move on. Let's talk Daily Fantasy Sports. Let's talk Thrive Daily Fantasy Sports. We have partnered with Thrive this season to bring you the best in Daily Fantasy Sports. Check us out on Thursday on our Twitter and our Instagram and Facebook for the Thursday night prop bet. Deposit $20. Use code SEC247 and we will match the $20. And you can go play some props. Hey, prop up. Let's get to it. It is one of my favorite times of the week. This is our uniform discussion. Two matchups we liked, maybe three that we didn't, because I had trouble narrowing down on my end. And let's get to it.
Very nice. High five.
Borat, man. Having one hell of a week, Mr. Borat.
Yeah. You watched it, right?
I watched it. And yeah. It was definitely not as funny as the first.
Yes.
It was very much an indictment on the United States and our society right now, which to me made it extremely funny, because there's a whole segment of people. And I don't know if I texted you this or texted someone else. I said, there's people I know that love Borat and who are going to watch this movie and be like, oh, that's hilarious. And yeah, they're making fun of you.
Yeah,
and they're not going to get it, which kind of amuses me.
No, absolutely. It was like a political hit job.
Oh, it was a complete political hit job.
Yeah, and but there were definitely funny scenes, though.
There's apparently stuff that's more damning and that was edited out of it.
Oh, interesting.
So that was the newest story. If you're Rudy Giuliani, ooh, bad luck, man. Bad luck. But we're not talking that. We're talking uniform. Yeah. So we have good-looking uniform matchups for the week. Why don't you go first, get us started.
Well, thank you for the honor. I am going to go first. Actually, both of mine are in the college ranks. But first one was also a really big matchup. I'm surprised it didn't get ESPN billing, frankly. And that's Cincinnati at SMU. It was a nice look. I really like SMU's uniforms, particularly the home blues. Cincinnati wore a really nice red or burgundy matte helmet, which I liked. Cincinnati, SMU.
I'm going to stick in the professional ranks. You're not going to like this one, but it's okay. And this had a lot of things going on. 4K TV, red, orange, snow, Chiefs, Broncos, just a really, really good looking matchup. It was really because the snow made it so. Hey.
You do the Chiefs every week.
They have a good uniform. And if you match up well uniform wise with the Chiefs and you add in the snow, it's just going to work. Like if it were the Chiefs, the way they were dressed this past weekend, red pant, white jersey, red helmet, and the Eagles in all black, I wouldn't pick it.
Yeah, but you're very pro Chiefs.
Andy Reid, baby.
Yeah, no, it's all good. My second one are the Iowa State Cyclones at Oklahoma State. And we'll discuss this more maybe perhaps in a little bit, foreshadowing here. I am typically not a fan of the gray uniform, but I got to tell you, the one that Oklahoma State rocked this weekend, I actually liked it. And I also, when you pair that with the white and red pant look of Iowa State, it was a nice sight to see.
Oklahoma State has some cool uniform matchups. The Pistol Pete on the helmet.
Yeah.
Different things they do actually really, really works. Their throwback is nice. Mm-hmm. Some of their newer stuff is cool. And it's not like Oregon where it's like wild stuff. It's just a good – they have good-looking uniforms.
For the most part, I'd say most of their combos are good.
I'm going to go to the college ranks. I'm going to stick in the Big Ten. Wisconsin and Illinois – Wisconsin always looks nice. I always like Wisconsin's uniform. Illinois, they changed their look back a little bit. It was just a classic football matchup to kick off the Big Ten season.
I'm surprised you like the Illinois uni.
I like it. I like it better than what they've had in years past.
Gotcha. Well, you also like Wisconsin's because of Cherry Hill West.
Yes, because I wanted that I designed a uniform 20 something years ago to look just like that, but in purple.
Yeah. So no, that's okay. I mean, you know, it's what it is.
Let's get to the matchups that, it just wasn't really working for us.
No, don't like that.
So my first one, is typically a school that we've both mentioned as one that we like a lot, and that's Pitt. And Pitt decided to do something just hella ugly and ruined what could have been a beautiful matchup with Notre Dame. I love Notre. I do. I really do love Notre Dame's uniforms too. I haven't selected them because I, you know, I think they need the right, you know, you need the right dance partner. And I thought it would have been Pitt, but Pitt just ruined it with whatever the hell that was. It looked like a Panther uniform. It was ugly.
So I also have Pitt and Notre Dame for the exact reasons that you just mentioned. When I first saw that matchup kind of come across the scroll, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's helmets, now that they've gone to the more like the really metallic gold,
yeah,
are really good. I don't like the pants as much because the new material makes them a little bit duller, but it's a nice uniform. It really, it's one of the best uniforms in college football.
I like the dull pants. I like the contrast between that and the helmet.
Well, it's the Giants, you know.
They always had the Giants. What does that have?
They had the contrast between the helmet and the jersey for decades.
That's true.
Just to drive me insane. Then you have Pitt. That, their new uniform, their retro look, so nice. Just so good. And yet here we go. I don't know. Not I don't good. Know. I really don't know.
Not awful. Good. Awful. Yeah. Really bad. Bad. Really bad. My second one, I'm assuming, is going to be on your list as well, because we texted about it on Sunday, and it's Detroit at Atlanta. There was nothing good about this. This all gray uniform, the Lions, sucks. The faded, or whatever they call it. What's the word they call it, Mike?
Gradient.
Gradient, thank you. I don't know why I said faded. The gradient jersey for Atlanta is terrible. And you know what else really sucks? The turf at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's so awful. It's like it died, even though it's not real.
So interesting you say it, because that is my choice, and we were talking about it.
Yeah.
And because I texted you, I'm like, what the hell's going on with the field? Yeah. I just read that, especially when you got closer to the end zones, it's like you could almost see more of the black rubbery pellets if anyone has been on an artificial field. Oh, no, that was paint made to look like the uniform. That's why that looked like that. It looked like an unfinished football field.
Yeah, it looks like it's under construction.
Like anyone who's seen a turf field, and you can go YouTube it, they put down the carpet and then they literally dump these black pellets on there. And there's a machine that goes through and spreads it out. It looked like that machine never showed up. No, that was just paint. It was so bad. There is no reason for any team to wear a gray uniform. Seattle, you know, it was just really, yeah, that's on my list. I had Phoenix and Seattle as my other one, knowing that you were going to pick this.
Yeah.
Only because Seattle's gray. Phoenix. I mean, they haven't been Phoenix since 1994. I liked with the Cardinal. I actually don't mind that Cardinal look when they match it with the appropriate pants with the piping, but it's still not them.
You know, they've never done the black jersey with red pants.
Good, and they never should.
I would like to at least see it once.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. If you had to choose, now I'm not saying you like either, but if you had to choose, would you choose the Lions or Seahawks gray uniform?
I actually think I would take the Seahawks gray because it was a little bit more toned down. The Lions gray was almost like a silver. Like they're trying to make it silver.
And it's also jersey and pants.
Well, so was Seattle.
I thought Seattle was gray jersey, blue pants.
They didn't wear the blue pants. They wore the gray. Okay. Which is actually an okay look on them with the gray pants and the blue jersey. But it's a little bit more toned down than what the Lions have. And the Lions have nice colors normally. Like they got
Hawaii blue.
Yeah, stop futzing with the uniform. Just go back to what works. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I agree.
Now comes our favorite segment of the week. Four pretzels in a lap. Lap good, pretzels bad. Let's get to it.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
I think you got that mixed up, buddy.
What?
You said lap good, pretzels bad.
Pretzels good, lap bad. Yeah, it is what it is. Let's start off here in the Big Ten. The aforementioned Graham Mertz, 20 for 21, 5 TDs, 248 yards, and a touchdown, 5 TDs, 1 incompletion in a 45-7 rout over Illinois. The run-heavy Wisconsin Badgers go to the air. I almost had to take him off the list because he's now COVID positive, but that may or may not have anything to do with what he did.
So a COVID disqualifies you from a
pretzel? Well, if he went out and did something stupid to get it, yeah, then yes. But I don't know that now, so he's on the list.
Okay.
In a good way.
Gotcha. My first is Desmond Ridder, quarterback for the now number seven ranked Cincinnati Bearcats. They defeated the then 16th ranked SMU Mustangs 42-13 on the road. He was 13 of 21, 126 yards passing with a touchdown, but also had eight carries for 179 yards and three touchdowns. And one play, he had like a 40-yard gain, and during his cadence, he yacked right on the field. So,
and still was able
and
to
still
go.
Yeah, exactly.
Take notes, Donovan. Take notes.
Yeah, seriously.
My number three Pretzel Award winner, Olakuni Fatukasi, linebacker, Rutgers University, 10 tackles, assisted tackle for loss, two forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery. The Chuck Bednarik National Player of the Week in college football. Go Knights in a 38-27 victory over Michigan State.
Obviously I love 03 as well. I just have a really quick question. You said that was your third pretzel. Did you just discuss the second one in your head, or yeah,
I'm reading it in reverse order. So
okay.
I haven't had enough coffee yet.
It's all good. My second one goes to the San Francisco 49ers defense. Considering they had so many injuries, they've had a few guys come back, particularly in the secondary, but they held New England to 162 yards passing with four interceptions and only 94 yards rushing in a 33-6 beatdown. They're back to 4-3. They're still hanging on and competitive in the most competitive division in the whole league. So San Francisco defense.
Go Niners. Kyler Murray, come on down, get yourself a pretzel. 34 for 48, 360 yards through the air, three TDs and a pick, 67 rushing yards and a touchdown. And he has really, I was not a huge believer in Kyler Murray. I mean, I know he's a good player, and everyone compares him to Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes. And I kind of pumped the brakes on that a little bit. But he's played so well the past couple weeks. He's really coming into his own. And this was a big win.
Yeah, absolutely. Knocked off the previously undefeated Seattle Seahawks, and now they're 5-2. Right. That was a big one. So my third is Justin Herbert, quarterback for the Chargers, 27 of 43, 347 yards, three touchdowns, nine carries, 66 yards, and a touchdown in a 39-29 win over Jacksonville. Look, the Chargers are only 2-4. Mark it down. I said it now. I think they are going to be a serious threat in the AFC next year.
I would agree with you. They have their quarterback. Poor Tyrod Taylor, man. It sucks for him. Now, my number one pretzel goes to Washington football coach Ron Rivera, who had his last cancer treatment this week. Rang the bell. By all accounts, this thing is in remission. It is amazing to see what he has done, working his way through it. There's this thing on social media, Instagram, Facebook, the then and now picture.
Yeah.
So he posted one on his Twitter, which is Riverboat at Riverboat Ron HC, which is great. And he has his own logo too. And it was him in his first treatment, all wired up and all this stuff. And then it was him ringing the bell for his last treatment. Look, to go through that during this time and coach a football team is pretty impressive. And he's a good dude, Ron Rivera.
Absolutely. Kudos to him on his recovery, which is most important. So my last one goes out to Nick Anderson of Wake Forest. He is a freshman walk-on. Wake Forest defeated the number 20th ranked Virginia Tech Hokies 23-16. He had 11 tackles and 3 interceptions. And the head coach after the game announced he's going to become a scholarship player. So that's a good week. And he deserves a pretzel. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, with good, there is always bad. So I guess we're going to have to get
terrible.
To it.
Terrible. Take a lap. God awful. Get going.
Ron Rivera, for everything great that you did, your player made a dirty hit. But that's not going to be my lap. My lap is going to go to the aforementioned in this program, Dallas Cowboys. Are you fucking kidding me? And I don't even like Dallas. It's Dallas week in Philadelphia, for Christ's sake. But your quarterback gets laid out on the field like that, and you do fucking nothing? Yo, linemen, are you serious? Do you just not like the guy? Like, you have to go and get yourself – you have to go and take care of that situation. That is an ejection-worthy response from an offensive lineman. If I'm Andy Dalton, if I'm Dak Prescott, screw those guys. They won't protect me on the field after that. What a joke. And it's from the top down. A bunch of – Dallas sucks.
I would agree with you. Dallas is most deserving of a lap. Mine also relates to our other podcast, Night Talk, because there, for those that listen, we give out fat sandwiches in honor of Rutgers to those players that deserve it. But we try to keep it positive on that podcast so no one gets a lap. This guy, in terms of my football fandom, wasted several years of, frankly, both of our lives. My lap goes to Chris Ash. Because it literally took 10 minutes of watching this Rutgers team to realize how awful Chris Ash was as a head coach, as a football mind, as a runner of programs. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. The only thing that I took issue with was the later revelation that he would make kids. There was a policy that if you missed your tutoring sessions, you literally had to pay a fine, which not all these kids, are rolling around with money, even though they're on scholarship. I thought that was a little strange and over, just not the right look. Not a bad man. Frankly, I kind of knew right away. I don't know if I mentioned on this podcast, I was part of the Rutgers Fan Advisory Board. There was 40 of us. It was his first off season. He came in the room. And he couldn't even take the time to shake everyone's hand. It was only 40 people. And it was a lot shorter than I thought. And the cargo pants thing bothered me. And the fact that this guy was a tight-ass coach who wouldn't blitz and would never go for it and just always managed to make the wrong decision. And he tried to make New Jersey Iowa. And guess what? I'm sure Iowa's a beautiful place. We're Jersey, man. Whether we're South Jersey or North Jersey, whether we're Eagles fans or Giant fans, we have a different kind of attitude. We play differently. We interact differently. We're not ho-hum Midwesterners, okay? So take your shit and go to Texas, and you're fucking up there too. Excuse my language. But you wasted several years of my life and my co-host's life in terms of football fandom. So Chris Ash, go run a lap.
I think that's 2 weeks in a row for him, actually.
Yeah, I might give it to him in perpetuity.
He really deserved it this week. Yours was better than mine. Let's get to it. Our top five, bottom five. Let's start with the bottom five. We obviously know number 32 for both of us is the New York Jets. So let's go 28 to 31. Go first.
28, I have Jacksonville Jaguars, 29 Atlanta Falcons, 30 New York Giants, 31 Dallas Cowboys.
I have 28 Jacksonville Jaguars, 29 Atlanta Falcons, 30 the Dallas Cowboys, 31 New York Giants. But I probably should flip-flop that to mirror yours because the Cowboys have no balls.
It's like dead man walking. It's dead team walking.
And they have no guts. That's the worst part. Gutless wonders. Bunch of gutless wonders. Couldn't happen to a better team. Let's go top five, 5-2-1.
All right. My number five are the Tampa Bay Bucks. Number 4, Tennessee Titans. Number three, Baltimore Ravens. Two, Kansas City Chiefs. Number one, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Number five, Tennessee Titans. Number four, Seattle Seahawks. Number three, Green Bay Packers. Number two, the Kansas City Chiefs. And number one, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, those Steelers. Well, I will say one thing. I think the 72 Dolphins are in pretty good shape that at some point soon they'll be popping the corks on the champagne bottle. I don't see Pittsburgh running the table.
Now, and the biggest shame of this season is we are going to have a Pittsburgh-Baltimore game. That's going to be a slugfest coming up soon, and there's going to be no one there to see it.
Well, it's this week, right?
Is it this week? I thought it was next week.
I thought it's this week.
Why is that not the Sunday night game?
Yeah, I mean, really, if it's time to start flexing. I mean, we're flexing everything else. Can we flex this?
Yeah.
In the same way we should have flexed Tennessee-Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh-Baltimore. I didn't realize that. 1 o'clock.
I mean, come on.
That should also be the 4:25 game, at least.
It should be the – what's the Sunday night game?
Tampa at New York.
Oh, no, that's Monday night.
The Eagles-Cowboys is Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The NFC East is the biggest disgrace of a division.
I would flex that out in a heartbeat.
I would switch that immediately.
On that note, we'll talk more of this on our Football Friday show. Follow us on all social media at GL Stan Show. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I would tell you to go to thegoallinestand.com, but it's under development because WordPress sucks and we're moving to a different platform. I'm Mike. That's Brett. We will see you on Friday.